Thank you, members, and apologies for being late. Literally on Chairman's notices. Okay, well, those are there for all to read. Apologies for absence.
Yes, Chairman, apologies received from Council Mrs. Elliott and Council Shrimpton, and Council Mrs. Lewis is due to be attending as substitute for Council Shrimpton.
Okay, thank you. Minutes of the last meeting. To confirm the minutes of the meeting of the Finance and Corporate Services Committee held on the 7th of March 2017. Are those agreed?
Agreed.
Thank you. Disclosure of interest. Disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interest, other pecuniary interest or non-pecuniary interest relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraph 6 to 8, inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. Anything? Councillor Fluker.
Thank you, Chairman. Agenda item 13. I'm a Morden Harbour Commissioner and I'm also associated with the Directors of Land Reach, Catterall's and Topsail Charters. And perhaps you could bear with me, Chairman, because I have the apparatus with me this evening. So when you're going through the report, perhaps you could just prompt me with a page number. Thank you.
We'll certainly attempt to do so, Councillor Fluke. Anything else? Councillor Dobson?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Sorry, agenda item 10, I'm Chair of Governors of All Saints School.
Okay, thank you. Nothing else? Excellent. Okay, on to public participation, item 5, to receive the views of members of the public on items of business to be considered by the committee. And I understand we have two speakers, is that
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, can I call on Mrs. Emma Jones, please? And you have 2 minutes, I think. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My children attend school in Malden. I'm hopeful that you will accept a recommendation for the reinstatement of the parent parking permit for the local schools in Malden to enable safe parking for a short period in the morning and afternoon during school term time. We understand the need of the council to plug budget gaps, but we don't believe levying daily parking charges will deliver this. It is likely that parents or carers having to feed the meter twice a day will drop and run in the streets near the schools and not use the car park at all. The likely increased traffic in the surrounding roads will inevitably increase the safety risk, and this is our main concern. The two arguments against the parking permit presented previously by some council members were allegations of abuse of permits by parents and that full consultation had already taken place with all stakeholders prior to the policy being implemented. We don't believe this to be correct and have requested data to support these statements, and nothing has yet been forthcoming. To our knowledge, no contact was made with the schools or parents prior to a letter that was received last month stating that the permits would be revoked. We are extremely concerned that we've been excluded from this process. If a fee must be levied for school permit parking, then we would ask, please, that it reasonably reflects the period of use and that it's consistent with the charging model already in place. A calculation based on the existing £580 annual permit charge versus the £8 day tariff using the machine represents a 75% discount. If this logic is applied to the £2 charge for an hour in the morning and 1 hour in the afternoon that parents are now expected to pay at the parking machine, then this would result in an annual permit, assuming a 39-week school year, of £100, including admin charges. We hope that a solution along these lines can provide a pragmatic resolution, with the council securing upfront revenue and parents securing safety for their children during the year. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Can I now call on Mrs. Elaine Mason, please?
Thank you. I'm Elaine Mason, head teacher at Malden Court School. I've been listening to the views of many concerned parents who have contacted me about this matter, and I do appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight. I do understand the need to control budgets, and therefore, as it was suggested at the previous meeting, I'm suggesting the user pays principle, whereby the parents of Malden Court and all the other Malden schools are charged an amount that reflects their actual use of the facilities. If parents feel that the charge is unreasonably high, many will choose to stop and drop, which will inevitably cause congestion, upset to local residents, and most crucially, a threat to child safety. I would be most grateful if Malden District Council could offer this concession for free with the overriding principle of safety in mind. Although I feel that a price can never be put on child safety in protecting our children, I do understand the need to compromise in order to reach a solution that the majority are happy with. Therefore, for all parties to be happy, I'm in favour of the proposal put forward at the Planning Committee meeting on the 11th of April, whereby parents pay for a yearly permit of the £100 per year plus the £20 admin fee. This takes into account all of the other schools in the area for the 45 minutes in the morning and afternoon, which was the timescale agreed at the previous meeting. The current £580 annual fee is totally out of proportion for the amount of weeks the permit will be used throughout the year and the amount of time the parents use it in the week, and will ultimately be a loss in revenue to Maldon District Council due to the lack of uptake of permits. More significantly, it will pose a real threat to child safety, and there's nothing more important in my mind than this. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much indeed, and we'll obviously consider those points when we look at item 10 later in the meeting. Chairman's good news announcements, do we have any of those for you? Not today? Okay, excellent. Corporate health and safety, item 7, to consider the report of the Director of Resources.
Okay, I'm ready. Yeah.
Item 7.
I'm presenting here our quarter four corporate health and safety report and the 2017-18 action plan, which is included in Appendix 2. In Appendix 1, the progress on the 16-17 action plan for corporate health and safety is also included. Council, if you could page 17. So on page 17, you'll see the summary of the 10 incidents which occurred in quarter four, none of which required a report to the health and safety executive. In addition to that, on the following page, we also note that there were 4 incidents of unacceptable behaviour. This is more than has historically been reported in a quarter, and therefore we're keeping a watching brief on this, and we'll report back to the committee if this does appear to be a pattern. So today we are seeking noting of the report and quarter four figures, noting of the 2016-17 progress, and then the approval of the 2017-18 action plan.
Members, is that noted and agreed? Okay, thank you. On to item 8, the corporate communications protocol, and this has come back to us after we sent it back to be reconsidered in late 2015, I think.
Absolutely. So this has come back after it's been the Review and Scrutiny Committee looked at it first. It came to finance. Finance had a number of points. In 3.4 on page 25 of this agenda pack, you'll see that each of those points is actually addressed individually. And then in Appendix 1, or Appendix A, which is the plan, all of the changes are highlighted in red highlighted writing, so you can see the tracked changes in place. The recommendation here is that this protocol is now adopted. Are there any questions or any further changes requested on it?
Councillor Miss Lewis.
Sorry, I've actually not got my spectacles, so I'll have to guess a bit. But there's certainly one part in it that's duplicated. It was one of the new bits that you'd put in, and I've got the wrong one with me. It's the one. Spectacles.
Thank you.
You spare pair. It's one of the new bits that you've put in, and it actually duplicates something a little bit earlier in the protocol. So I thought for tidiness it would be useful if you took one or the other out. I will find it very quickly. 1.3.9 sounds very much like 1.2.4. Or the intention of it does.
So just to clarify, 1.2.4 states that if an issue is highlighted to the press office by a member, a copy of the response given will be sent to the originating member for information. 1.39, either a member of staff or the press office will ensure that if an issue is highlighted to the press office by a member, a copy of the response given will be sent to the originating member for information. So I think if there is a duplication, and we'll take one point We'll probably leave it in 1.24 because that's where the press office protocol is included.
Yep, that's fine. It's just to show that I had actually read it.
Members, anything else? Or is that protocol agreed? Thank you. That's a recommendation to council. Okay, item 9, which is supplementary estimates environments.
So this report brings forward two supplementary estimates, one pertaining to the previous financial year and one for the current financial year. The one pertaining to the previous financial year is funds required and a revenue estimate required for £12,000 for the contribution towards the JR Planning Inspectorate appeal. And the second one is £20,000, which is to deal with the Head of Legal Services maternity leave, which wasn't anticipated at the time that the budget was built.
And Ms. Foy, just in relation to the judicial review supplementary revenue estimate, I mean, that was, I guess, accepted by the department relatively quickly. So have those monies actually been spent, or is there a smaller number actually required?
At the current date, it's a smaller number than what's included in here. I think we're waiting to hear back now from the Secretary of State in terms of what happens next.
But thank you. Members, are those agreed? Thank you. On to item 10, which is the permit for school parents parking. Mr. Holmes, do you want to address the committee?
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, members, this report was put to the Community Services Committee on the 11th of April and obviously to your committee this evening with two sets of recommendations, one being that the Community Services Committee looked at the principle of introducing a parking permit, the second to the Finance Committee, and subject to that decision. I'll go straight to the addendum, which is on page 49, just to update you on the Community Services decision. The Council does not make available parking permits for parents of children attending Morden schools to use Council car parks, and the Finance and Corporate Services Committee be advised accordingly. So the Community Services Committee did not agree to introduce this permit.
Members, okay, I know there's some differences of view amongst people here, and I know that we have a number of the members from that committee who are here to give their views tonight. I just, before I take any of those points, I'll just give you some of my own perspectives. Obviously, I have an enormous amount of respect for the Community Services Committee, and the decisions that they normally come to are normally very sensible. I think in this case, however, I do disagree with it, and that is mainly for commercial.
Point of order, Chair, please. Point of order.
No, I'm not going to take the point of order. I'm going to give my perspective first, and then if anyone wants.
Chairman, point of order, please.
I'm not going to take your point of order, Councillor Darling. Okay? I'm going to give my perspective, and then I'm going to call members for their views. That's how we normally go about it.
Your chair.
Thank you. I think in this case there may have been a misunderstanding by the Community Services Committee, in that maybe there was some a view that this was a concession that was being made to a particular group of people. I think our issue, or the issue for the Finance Committee to think about, is actually whether or not this is a commercial proposition. If you think about the permits that we make available already, the season ticket permits that we make available for people, as one of the residents mentioned, those are already subject to a significant discount, and the reason that those are made available is not some big concession on behalf of the council, but they're made available because it's actually an attractive commercial decision for the council to have someone pay up front for the whole year and probably not use the car parks every single day. I think the issue here is, and the proposal, my own concern actually, is that there may not be many parents who actually avail themselves of this permit at the cost that's being proposed, because it's not as significant a discount as we make available in relation to season tickets. But I think here what is happening is that we're actually, what's being proposed is that the council is going to get £200 per year up upfront from residents, or from parents that want to use this service, instead of which, if we don't make this service available, they may simply not park in the car park at all, and that £200 will be lost, or they may park occasionally. They may park if they decide to stay for longer, if they just drop their child off and go, they probably won't park. And so I think that we need to look at this very much as a commercial decision, in the same way that we look at other parking charges and other season tickets, rather than as being some kind of concession. I was strongly in favour of the original concession, where this was free parking that was extended to these group of parents, being removed, because that was a concession. And I think in the context of all the other parking fee charges that we made, it was unfair to have that situation continue. And certainly, you know, officers, I think, were also worried about you know, passes being photocopied and all that sort of stuff. Here, permits would be issued by the council. They'd presumably have the registration numbers applied and so forth, and so those risks wouldn't apply. This would be implemented in exactly the same way as the council happens to implement season tickets. And, you know, I think that we should think about this very sensibly from a commercial perspective, because I'd rather have £200 of income from people who are parking, you know, maybe once or twice a day for a very short period of time, rather than have those people fill up the streets for 5 minutes while they drop their children off, with all the safety issues that that brings, but also the fact that we're not actually then we're not actually generating any income from those people either. The other issue, which I think is relevant, particularly for, you know, the private schools who are affected by this, albeit that this obviously this ticket will be extended to everybody if it was implemented, is that some people may choose to actually withdraw their children from the school and send them somewhere more convenient. That's actually a factor for people when they choose to send their children to school. And the reality is, I don't think we want to have, you know, a school have fewer people on its roll, or alternatively fewer people coming into Maldon for this reason. So for all of those reasons, I think that this is a very sensible proposal that came from officers, and certainly from my perspective I endorse it. But I know that there are differences of views, and I'm sure we'll hear some of those comments now. Councillor Pearlman, I'll take comments from the committee first of all, if you find an acceptable, Councillor Pearlman, and then I'll call.
Yeah, Chairman, well, this actually falls onto my board anyway. I'm actually in total agreement with you. I think it's an upron. It's what we suggested of taking away this permit. I think it's outrageous. I wasn't there at the original committee when it was decision time, but it's on my ward. I'm actually bombarded with it every day. I can't even go down the high street without people stopping me. And my proposal is that we implement the £200 permit. I heard that there was some abuse towards photocopying of the actual permit, and it was being abused in that way. But apparently, if we're going to have a new permit with the registration numbers on, that would solve that problem. So on behalf of the residents, especially on Maldon North, I'm totally against this, and my proposal is that we implement the £200 permit.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Dobson.
Sorry, thank you, Chairman. I'm just going to say exactly the same as what I said at Community Services, where I'm a member of that committee, is that the interest of this is all about fairness for me. It's still not fair for me, this. I think and I'm going to put a proposal that I put to Community Services, that if this was to be put forward, I would recommend that for all schools in the town centre to be able to use this. 30 minutes isn't long enough. The All Saints School, in my children, is certainly not long enough. Ship Downs and places like that. So I would propose that it's extended to 45 minutes for the £200 a year, which is exactly what I'd said at Community Services.
But there is a scheme implemented that all schools can avail themselves of.
Sorry?
But there is a scheme implemented.
There is a scheme, but it needs to, 30 minutes isn't the correct time. It needs to be 45 minutes.
Okay. Councillor Fluker.
I mean, I'd hate that your comments were taken out of context, and I hope that you'll join me in paying tribute to all the hard work that the Community Services Committee has done in the last 12 months, and in particular the waste contract, the leisure contract, and indeed parking fees. Chairman, you didn't say it, but you seem to be speaking to the recommendations in Roman 3 and Roman 4. And that said, I understand what Councillor Dobson says, but, you know, we should be mindful of the fact that from about 9:30 in the morning, the car park does start to get quite busy, and a 45-minute parking slot might actually impede on our other income. I'm not sure. I don't have that information. I'm only guessing, but Councillor Dobson brings a new dimension to this by introducing other schools. So my gut feeling is, Chairman, that, you know, subject to agreeing whether it's 30 or 45 minutes, we should go with the two recommendations in Roman 3 and 4. And if you wish me to propose that, I'll do that, Chairman. Thank you.
Councillor Harker.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't think we should go down this road. There are other users who might feel equally peeved. Regular churchgoers had a massive increase in what they pay because they were previously free and now they have to pay £1. What about shop workers who only do half a day or office staff? We have a policy in this council that the user pays, and this runs counter to that policy, and I can't support it. Thank you.
Okay, any other comments? Councillor Durham, you seem to be very keen to speak on this subject.
Thank you, Chairman, and to put you straight, I am a member of this committee. Of course, I'm ex officio.
But you are not, sorry, I'm a non-voting member. I wanted to hear from the voting members first.
Chairman, the point of order I was going to raise is if you look at Little 3, the wording of Little 3 is that subject to approval of 1 and 2 above. And 1 and 2 above wasn't approved by Community Services Committee. So you can actually technically can't introduce something that doesn't exist or fix a price for something that doesn't exist, because the permit, it is the role of Community Services to fix whether there will be a permit. They decided against a permit. The role of this committee was simply to fix a price for a permit. And as I said, that permit doesn't exist. Now, in saying that, Chairman, the reasoning for that, and if you're aware, I was the chairman of the car parking working group, and subsequently the liaison group with the stakeholders. The whole point of when we looked at the car parking tariff rate was for fair use, and that was the reason that we came to a very difficult decisions on the pricing of the car parking, and the introduction of the evening weekend charge, which was very controversial, was purely based on fair use, and we had a lot of representation from user groups, the Brownies, the Film Club, all of the evening groups. But we took a firm line in that if they use our facilities, which cost us money to administer, they should be paying for the right of it. After the new tariffs were agreed, we agreed to set up, at Councillor Dobson's suggestion, a stakeholder working group where we invited various stakeholders to come and discuss the car parking issues. We had a representative from the churches, we had a representative from the local businesses, and we actually went out seeking two or three times because the turnout of those stakeholder meetings was woefully poor. And we actually went out saying, you know, please, we want to engage with stakeholders using the car parks in the town. None of the schools came forward to take part in that. So none of them, and they will have the opportunity to, Chair. This, as Councillor Dobson will testify, we tried very hard to get stakeholders to take part in these meetings. So, Chairman, I child safety is absolutely the most important thing. That there is nothing that should supersede child safety. But we have to maintain our policy of fair use and fair charging. Now, if we go down this route, where do we draw the line? Do we therefore offer a permit for the Brownies? Do we offer one for the churches? Do we offer one for the WI? Do we offer one to all of the various users that have short-term use of the car park? And I think it's, you know, it's the thin end of a very dangerous wedge. Nobody was wanting to pick on the schools, but we established, after a very long debate, a difficult debate, fair use for the car parks, and this, I'm afraid, flies in the face of it. And really, it's not terribly good that this committee overturns the decision that was heavily debated at Community Services. And as I said, that the recommendation very firmly, Little 3 is subject to approval of Little 1 and Little 2 above, and Little 2 and Little 1 above were not agreed.
Thank you, Councillor Durham. I mean, clearly, the recommendation that has been put forward here, given the Community Services Committee decision, couldn't simply be rubber stamped. I agree with you that that wouldn't make any sense at all. But clearly, it could be a determined, or it could be a recommendation from this committee, because it's a recommendation to council. Someone can make a counter proposal. That, notwithstanding the fact that the Community Services Committee did not make that decision, that actually we recommend to council that a permit is made available. And it does seem to me, at least, to be a decision for a finance committee to make around fees and charges for car parks. I do, obviously, you've been very involved in this, Councillor Durham, as the chair of that task group. You'll recall that I also took a lot of flack, being the member that proposed these significant parking charges at council the year before last. And I agree with you, the user should pay. But I think what's being proposed here is not that the user shouldn't pay, but that the user should pay, and there's a £200 charge being proposed. The question is that a fair charge for fair use? Now, I agree with you that, of course, as soon as you implement any, if you introduce a season ticket, then someone else is going to say, well, I want a different type of season ticket. But the reality is, if a church user is coming on a Sunday and they're using the car park for an hour every Sunday, they're using the car park for an hour every Sunday, and if someone wants to go shopping for an hour every Sunday, they're using the car park every Sunday as well, and they will pay the hourly charge and they'll go. The issue for this particular group of people, whether, you know, from any school, as Councillor Dobson says in Malden, is that you've got people who only want to use the car park for 15-20 minutes, probably twice a day, don't want the inconvenience, particularly when you've got young children, you're running across car parks with young children, don't want the inconvenience of having to go and pay with and find the right change twice a day, which is actually a huge issue as well. And again, if you either you're leaving the children in the car, which is dangerous, or you're taking them across the car park, which is dangerous, all those times that you're using that multiple times a day, we are actually talking about charging them, in fact more than charging them, for the half an hour or so of car parking that they're actually going to be using each day. So I think this can very legitimately be described as the user pays, and it's a very sensible win-win situation for the council and also for the school. Yes, withdrawing the concessionary scheme before wasn't, but this is a win-win for everybody. We can agree the details, whether it's half an hour, 45 minutes or whatever. I think for most parents it's probably going to be 15 minutes, because it doesn't take too long to drop your children off and collect them, and it's better for everyone. That's my own perspective. But you know, I think, you know, we absolutely need to be in a position where the user pays, but this is not proposing anything different from the user pays. Councillor Fluker.
Sorry, Chair, I was just delving into the math of this, and someone would probably say I've got it completely wrong, but an annual season ticket, I think, works out at £11 per week, which I think works out about £1.45 an hour or something like that. I can't remember now if you work it out. It's actually less than that. And when you actually look at this, it's a much higher tariff.
Yep.
for the amount of, you know, it's a different thing altogether. £5 a week compared to £11 a week. £11 a week, you get 40 hours parking if you work 9 to 5. With this, you get 7.5 hours parking, and you're paying £5. So really, it's premium parking. I buy into the argument. You know, I like the argument that's been put forward, we should apply it to all schools. But this is still a premium. And at the end of the day, we have to maintain our car parks. And, you know, and I don't like the idea of, I take on board the headmistress's concern, but we do know that they will enforce outside the school, because they do it at the schools in Burnham, and that is as important for health and safety and the livelihood of the children as the parents irresponsibly parking outside the school. So, Chairman, I can't help thinking that when you look at the math of this, it's actually a bit of a win-win. So if it's £200 for 39 weeks and an hour and a half a day, if that's what you're saying, rather than an hour a day, it's quite a good income line, Jen.
Yeah, exactly. My own concern is that actually, you know, £200 a day will put off too many parents. They'll still try to drop their kids off outside the school, and there won't actually be many people who use it. So we can debate the kind of value of the cost of the service. But fundamentally, I'd rather have those people parking in our car parks and paying us a fee than trying not to park. And by the way, they might not, you know, I mean, you can still have the roads clogged up just by people literally stopping, kicking
picking their children out of the car and then driving on. And if they, I'd rather have them driving to the car park and use the facilities in Maldon and pay us a charge for doing so. Councillor Mrs. Acevedo.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm actually in favour of the £200 permit charge. However, what does worry me slightly is the timing and if we are going to lose more revenue by the car park being full at those drop-off and pick-up times. Now, that's what worries me, and it is about finance, of course, the children's safety and the safety of the parents taking their children to school. However, I think this could work, but I would like to know a few numbers, please, on how much we could potentially lose by losing all-day customers because the car park may be full at the time that the children arrive. Thank you.
Look, I mean, we should ask Mr. Hendon. My guess is, given the current arrangement where there's no charge, and presumably therefore most of the parents are actually using this service, and you know, again, because it's hard to police, I think you know, maybe overusing the service as well, and therefore you know, presumably some of those people won't choose to actually make use of this facility, and therefore there'll be spaces freed up. But you know, and so I guess it's probably going to be hard to monitor until we've actually implemented this scheme. But I agree, it's a good question.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. I think the other point to make is that the White Horse car park tradition is our short stay car park, so we don't have permits normally within the White Horse car park. We offer them other car parks because we want to encourage a rapid turnover of cars. So there are a few people that choose to pay the premium rate for staying all day, but most actually are on a short stay car park.
And then I think just to Councillor Durham's point around consultation, and maybe my memory is failing me, but I think the main element of the consultation that has been carried out with the public was on the back of the bigger changes that we made around evening parking and around Sunday parking. And I'm not sure how extensive the consultation has been around this specific issue, which has only come to light more recently and which has only changed more recently. I suspect the school may simply not have been aware that this was something that was going to happen, but maybe Mr. Holmes can confirm that.
I think the consultation was general, I would agree, but there was a great deal of effort, as has been pointed out, to reach out. I think we've managed to do that through the press, and also the CVS are engaged heavily, and they actually run a website, and they were looking actively for people of interest, and it was surprising how few people actually did respond to that level of consultation. So yeah, there really was a big effort to try and reach people.
Councillor Beale. Oh, sorry, and then I'll call Councillor Ms. Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a little bit surprised that the Finance and Corporate Services Committee have only got the right to fix charges. The use of the car park and other aspects of it is totally down to Community Services Committee. So can you tell me why you, sir, have allowed this to be a discussion that is actually onto the parameters of the community service? They've already indicated no. So therefore, it says in there, if you stick to your agenda, sir, that subject to approval of one and two, it will then be set. Unfortunately, community services, who are responsible for the car parks, did not agree with that, so therefore, technically, this discussion should not take place. So therefore, can you tell me, sir, why you have decided to have this discussion when it's nothing to do with finance and corporate services, because there was no lead-in from the community services? And I would suggest that if you are, or this committee is minded to find that that is an unfair situation, it should go to full council, and therefore the community service should be asked to discuss it again. But therefore you've got, I don't believe, sir, this committee has got a right at all to discuss this subject because it was not agreed by community and services.
Councillor Beale, I've said already, I think it's something we've got a right to discuss it. It's come to this committee in this way. Yes, we can't just endorse the recommendations because of what community services decided, but clearly we can make a different recommendation of our own. In any case, to your point, we're only making a recommendation. This will inevitably go to council, and given the difference of view, if it were to be supported, which it may not be, but if it were to be supported by the finance committee, given the difference of views by the committees, you know, who knows what the decision of council will be. But I think it's perfectly legitimate. The car parks are an asset of this authority. They're probably the major asset of this authority. I think it's perfectly legitimate for the Finance Committee to consider the appropriate use of those car parks and what the fees should be. Councillor Ms. Lewis.
Thank you. This is really difficult because clearly This order paper, and this is the order paper that we're discussing now, is very, very clear that Finance and Corporate Services Committee are discussing it subject to the approval of the other committee, and it wasn't approved. So I think that at best this needs to be deferred if you wish to pursue this, and in that deferral we can actually look at which other, not just schools but other organisations, can benefit from being allowed to have a concession where it was never considered before. And this is in the spirit of fairness. Now certainly we've talked about the Brownies. There was a great outcry from Brownies. There were also the ballet schools who drop off around the town. There's also the old age pensioners who meet at the Quaker Hall, where people have to drop them off and collect them later. So there are any number of people who could possibly benefit from this type of quick in and out concession, if you like. I'm not sure how we would ever police it. I'm not sure how we would be able to fully identify all the people that would benefit from this. I think that it would be a poor do if we were changing the whole rule of a committee and the whole standing of a committee just for the sake of a few parents. And I'm sorry, I cannot live with the argument that parents will put their children's, school children's lives at risk if they don't have this. It's down to parents and the school to monitor their own behaviour. It shouldn't be for us to accommodate poor behaviour by giving a concession that we're not giving, or a permit that we're not providing for anybody else. So I would suggest that we actually withdraw this debate. We know that in its current form, the Community Services Committee don't like it, and I would ask that it goes back to officers and the Community Services Committee to further investigate to see if this was to be, at the suggestion of the Finance Committee for perfectly legitimate financial reasons, if this was suggested to be a full proposal, that it should be made available to all groups and not simply to those that have school children. That would be fair.
Thank you for that contribution, Councillor Miss Lewis. Councillor Durham.
Just very briefly on that point, Chairman. The whole point of the follow-up stakeholder meetings, and Councillor Dobson will bear me out on that, prior to us changing the pricing structure, we were presented with potential Armageddon for the high street. We were saying that the voluntary, we were told that the voluntary groups will fall and fail, and the band, nobody would go to Brownies. So we said, okay, come to us with some proof. That is why we set up the working group, the follow-up working group. And in nearly a year, none of those people attending, none of the stakeholders, not the Brownies, not any other organisation came to us with any proof that their attendance had dropped. So there doesn't appear to be a problem with these other groups. Since we changed the car parking structure, we haven't heard hide and hair of any of them. So actually, I don't think that it's necessary to go through the rigmarole and countless officer time setting up permits for all these other ones.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you, Councillor Durham. I mean, this isn't about, you know, I go back to the comment I made before, this isn't about making concessions. This is about a sensible commercial decision around season tickets, essentially. And if we weren't to do this, then we should question whether we provide any season tickets at all to the car parks, and officers will tell us that I'm sure there's a commercial good reason why we provide season tickets. This is a special type of season ticket for a special type of situation. I don't think, unlike Councillor Miss Lewis, that those other situations are valid, because people are coming one night or two nights a week, and they're using the car park for an hour or two, and they're paying for an hour or two's use. The difference here is people are coming every day, twice a day, for a few minutes, and as Councillor Fluker pointed out, we are still overcharging them with this price for the actual use of the car park that they are taking down. And so it's actually in our interests to introduce something like this as a real win-win, in my opinion. Councillor Fluker, now I'm just going to bring this to a close.
Councillor Clowsey, can you Can the officer, or perhaps you might know the answer, when does the current arrangements expire?
Mr. Holmes?
June, I believe it's been extended to give a period of a grace, I guess, between now and that time. Chairman, could I just talk from an operational point of view? Obviously, this matter has been debated at the Community Services Committee. I'm quite anxious that we don't just make a decision kind of tonight that we haven't had the opportunity to think through. I don't think that would be appropriate. Permits and the operational issues around car parks are actually delegated to me. And obviously, I've tested the principle of the ticket through the Community Service Committee because it's very high profile and it's not what we offer now. And I got a very clear message from that committee that was not what they felt was appropriate. So I do think if we're not going to support the Community Service Committee, then there's a bit of time for us to consider. I think we do also have to consider the six-month rule. The Community Services have made a decision. There is, I'm not sure, I'll look to my colleague on my right, in terms of fees and charges, because we do obviously look at fees and charges and revise fees and charges. Is it something we could work on between now and when you look at the fees and charges again, and then possibly council through the committees would look at it?
Well, I think it makes sense maybe in that context to actually, this has already been extended, I think, by officers from originally the 1st of April until the 1st of June. Given that we're now in June, it probably makes sense to extend it until the end of July so it covers the rest of the school year. And then hopefully that will give officers some time to come back to us with some arrangements for what could take place in the new school year from September. I mean, I imagine, Mr. Holmes, given this proposal, you know, notwithstanding the Community Services Committee didn't support it, that for this proposal to have come from officers, you must be comfortable that this permit scheme does work fundamentally. And so I can't understand why it can't be introduced relatively quickly, but I am certainly getting an impression from this committee that from the Finance Committee at least there seems to be general support for this type of scheme. And I accept that there wasn't at the Community Services Committee, but ultimately this can only be tested in full council, and hopefully at full council, you know, some sensible compromise scheme for this unique situation can be agreed. And I think in the meantime it makes sense to defer this or allow this continue the existing arrangement to continue at least until the end of this school year, and then that gives us time in the next meeting or two of the full council to put a new position in place, hopefully that can be communicated to parents of the schools before the end of this term for implementation from the beginning of new school year.
Yes, it's a matter of clarity, and I'm not quite sure what you're suggesting now. Are you suggesting that this should go to the next full council, or are you suggesting that it should be withdrawn at this point and go to a future full council? Because the September June thing is an irrelevance if it goes to the next full council, isn't it?
I would have been comfortably going to full council in the week after next to be determined, because ultimately this disagreement has got to be has got to be resolved. Having said that, Mr. Holmes just said that there are some operational issues I think that he wants to spend some time on, and so I get the impression that this maybe needs to come back. Having said that, when it does come back, I'm not sure it's entirely useful for it to go to Community Services and come here and then to go to Council again. Given we've got differences of views, it may as well just go to full Council in the first place and be resolved there one way or the other, I think. Mr. Holmes?
Just generally straight to council, probably obviously not the first, we literally got days and agendas are being drafted right now for council, so we need a little bit of time to just to look at the impact of this and make sure we can operate the system suitably. So there is a council in July, so possibly we could take it back to July and that will get us ready for the September season, because obviously we don't want to go into September with not knowing whether we're going to do it or not and then trying to implement something straight away, so that would give us the over the summer period to do something.
So why not as a way forward, if I make a proposal that we support the principle of a permit scheme being made available for this unique situation, and we'd like officers to work up that proposal some more, and in consultation with members from the Community Services Committee to try and create something that will work for the entire council, and then that proposal is brought forward to the July council meeting, and in the meantime the existing arrangements are extended until the end of the current school year. If anyone wants to second that proposal, Councillor Fluker, Councillor Pellman, all those in favour of that proposal? Any against? Okay, that's carried. Thank you. On to item 11, any other items of business that are urgent? There are none, so we move on to exclusion of the public and press. To resolve that under section 100A, subsection 4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following items of business on the grounds that they involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraphs 1 and 3 of part 1 of Schedule 12A to the Act, and that this satisfies the public interest test. Can I have someone who seconds that? Councillor Plucker, thank you. All those in favour? Excellent. Good.